Welcome into Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith and Rob Williams are here with you. We've got a fun show planned for you today. And as always, we want to thank the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association for making it happen. As a matter of fact, the coaches are gathered right now in Greenville for the Coaches Academy. We had Scott Early join us last week to talk about this and so many great events around that. They had a golf tournament last night. They have got both Dabo Swinney and Kathleen Sweeney speaking to the coaches. They'll do breakouts. They're going to catch back up with us on rules emphasis and everything else that they're going to talk about at the Academy this weekend in Greenville, and we'll certainly get you up to date on that as soon as we can. We have got Somerville head football coach Ian Rafferty joining us in just a few minutes. Why has it taken us this long to get to the Somerville Green Wave, Rob? Because they cast an immense shadow over the Lowcountry when it comes to football success. And I love Coach Rafferty. I love what he's done there. He played for Coach McKissick. And they are a team to really keep an eye on because most of the players, if you watched Greenway football last year, most of that production is back, including in the backfield.
Absolutely. Good morning, Smitty. It's good to be here as always. Four Quarter Friday, every Friday morning. Look, we're right on the precipice of football season as we're less than a week away from practice beginning. We are less than a month away from our first games. We're just a few weeks away from Jamborees. You can start to feel it in the air a little bit, and we hope that you guys are right here with us and joining us on fourquarterfriday.com for more than we can give you in this jam-packed hour. But it is jam-packed today. Ian Rafferty, as you mentioned, quarterback trainer Ramon Robinson will join us at the end of the show. Both those guys in on the Leading Edge guest line for all of your fundraising needs. You can contact Leading Edge. And a reminder that we are in the Hewitt-Domaduras studio this morning. As always, we're bringing you the comfort of the tones of our voice to your ears and all the news around the state of South Carolina presented by Hewitt-Domaduras Law, hclawsc.com. Smitty, you said it about Somerville. Javen Williams is back. He's kind of been the bell cow for the last couple of years, but he may get a lot of attention, but there's a lot of guys on this roster, and we'll let Coach Rafferty get into that and explain it to everybody that's listening.
Yeah, and there's a lot of chatter going on the website, fourquarterfriday.com. You don't have to wait. Go there right now, and you can get on the Varsity Club message board for just a dollar right now and then half off for a year. You won't find a better deal than that going, and you've got to jump on the message boards. I'll give you one, Rob, that we were chatting about. I saw you posting about the best, like what is running back you essentially in high school football? And there was so much love about Burns, obviously. And I invite you to just go look at some of the research that I put up because I remembered. You know, it's one of those things when you had been around high school football as long as I had. I said, well, you know, Burns, obviously, I saw Marcus Lattimore in person, and we're always going to be biased to what we saw.
Sure.
But I will say this. There were a couple of other candidates that I laid out there, and I don't know that you can top Spartanburg High School's string of running backs from like 1985 through 2010. I don't know if you can touch it.
I'll be honest with you. Spartanburg was my thought when I posted the question. So okay. we were on the same page. I'm glad that it teed you up nicely. I wanted to see what else we could squeeze out from everybody there on the Varsity Club. You know, because you're right, you are biased to what you saw, and we've seen plenty, but so is everybody else on the message board because the state is full of hardcore high school football fans that have seen a lot of stuff. You know, even if you just go to your team, you're going to see so many opponents because the regions change over time and your non-region matchups are going to change over time. So you get a chance to see a lot of players if you're really paying attention. And we know people in this state are really paying attention, Smitty. But yeah, Spartanburg running backs probably belong in the top three, if not the number one spot. You're right. It's hard to make an argument against that stretch.
Yeah, so they had Carney Norris, who played at Georgia, Stephen Davis, who was an All-American. I think Carney Norris may have been an All-American as well. They had Mike Wanamaker in there. They had Tavian Feaster in there. And I saw Terrence Sims. And I see there's some players, like I was having a conversation with someone from Northwestern, a Northwestern football fan. And I brought up the fact, you know, all these great players from the Rock Hill area, Dee Feaster is almost forgotten in there, who ended up at Florida State. But that's the kind of talk we're having on the message board right now. So get on over there, fourquarterfriday.com. It's just a dollar. And get in on it. Especially, you want to step on my toes and tell me where I'm wrong, because Rob is posting these questions. I'm posting my thoughts. And maybe you've got something better. What are we missing? Go to the message boards right now. There's all kinds of conversations happening right now. I had to like close it and go to bed last night to get to this show. Now, on this show, we've got more news we want to mention just before this first break. Some grown-up news. John Combs, the athletic director at Spring Valley, has moved on. He is going to take a position as associate commissioner with the South Carolina High School League. I think that's actually a great spot for him. He's going to make a big impact with the high school league, and we want more and more of those former coaches, obviously ones like John Combs that we have a relationship with. He's been a contributor and a guest here for Four Quarter Friday. He's got relationships across the state. He's seen it from the coach's side, seen it from the administrator's side. He's going to be a strong advocate, in my mind, for common sense. So we're actually going to follow his impact with the South Carolina High School League. And we'll always be in touch with coaches, administrators, and then those with the South Carolina High School League, not just bringing you news, but as best we can, bringing you their thoughts, their thought process as to why things are doing, are going the way that they're going. All right, Ramon Robinson, certainly at the end of the show, he is a quarterbacks coach. We'll talk quarterbacking with Ramon Robinson before the hour is up. But right now, we'll take a quick break. And when we come back, it's Green Wave football. Somerville head coach Ian Rafferty is next on Four Quarter Friday from the Chief Sports Network, presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. Now, by Ian Rafferty, head coach for the Somerville Green Wave. Coach Rafferty has lived quite a football life, and now he is in charge of one of the premier programs in the state. Coach, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to join us.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
And, Coach, you are, you know, you played for John McKissick, you took the job, you played there, and you've taken the job at Somerville. And, look, you've had a lot of success. I know coaches don't want to dwell too much on that, want to talk about right now, but what has it been like, I guess, being a part of that community? Because your football career took you all over the United States, and then you came back to Somerville. What has it been like in the success you've had already there with the Green Wave?
Yeah, it's a really good thing. I tell people all the time, it's really a cool thing to be able to coach at your alma mater, you know, a place that kind of molded you, taught you how to grow up and be a man. You know, I live in this community. It's been really good for me. It was a little stressful at first when I first got started. I took the job during the COVID season, and then of course I had that second COVID season, so it was a little tough getting going. But you know, the last 4 years have been really good.
Coach, you talk about kind of the tenure that you've had there. How have you seen things evolve since that COVID time? As we've seen kind of the landscape of high school football in this state change. You are a guy who's been around the game in South Carolina for your entire life. And if you look at the past, let's say, 5 years, there have been a lot of changes. What would you say about how that's impacted head coaches like yourself? I know that you're headed to the Coaches Academy. We had Scott early on, and he talked about kind of these head coaches leaning on one another in a time when everything is kind of changing around the game. Can you just talk about the impact of some of the changes?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I was very fortunate. I spent my first 18 years coaching with Coach Pratt at Fort Dorchester. He was one of my coaches here, so he kind of showed me the way, what you needed to do to be successful. You know, we were very successful here at Somerville when he was here. He was my wrestling coach, and he was one of our football coaches. And then, you know, we built the program at Fort Dorchester into a powerhouse while we were there. So I leaned on him a lot, and a lot of things that he did with his program, I do with mine. You know, in the state, I mean, I think this is where we are now. I mean, I think, you know, there's changes every single year. People are getting out. New guys are coming in. People are changing schools. So it's kind of a whirlwind a little bit. You got to get used to different people at different schools and different schemes and things like that. So, I mean, it's the way of the world I think we live in now. You know, I think you're going to continue to see, you know, schools change coaches go to different places. It's just kind of where we are as a coaching profession.
And yet some things never change. You open with Sumter this year. So it's Somerville and Sumter, giving me Big 16 vibes, Coach. So tell us about maybe how that came together, what your schedule looks like, and how the region has changed, has shifted a little bit for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're at certain schools in the state of South Carolina, it's hard to find football games. So you end up getting stuck. I don't want to say stuck, but you end up having to play each other. It's not ideal to play Sumter starting out. Main reason is because they're a lower state team. You have a, you know, opportunity to play them again in the playoffs. But, you know, I know Coach Marlowe, when he took the job, I think they had that first week open, and he was looking for games. We played him the last 2 years when he was at South Florence. I said, okay. I said, well, I'll talk to you in 2 weeks because I know you're not going to find a game. And I couldn't find a game. So that's kind of how that came about. Same thing, Hillcrest in West Charlotte. I mean, they were looking for games. I was looking for games. Nobody could find anything, so we had to set that up. Berkeley, we're always going to play Berkeley. You know, Coach Lodge and I talked. Berkeley Somerville is 100 years going. I think, you know, he'd be the most hated man in Berkeley County, and I'd be the most hated man in Dorchester County if we didn't schedule that game. So that's kind of where we are with that. And then Stratford joined our region this year. Our region is the same as last year, and Stratford has joined our region. They were usually a non-region opponent, kind of the same thing, long history, tradition of playing each other. So that was always going to be a game. So that's kind of where our schedule shaped up. You know, not ideal having to make a trip to Greenville. And then next year we'll have to go to Charlotte to play, but it kind of is what it is sometimes.
Yeah, Coach, when you talk about kind of moving around and going to these games, the impact there is on the player in terms of preparation. It's not like college football. You've got to get these guys out of class. You've got to kind of arrange the schedule a little bit. Talk about the makeup of this team. When we look at personnel, we always know there's going to be talent at Somerville. Obviously, when you look at your team, you have talent, and you have Javen Williams, who probably headlines that in terms of what people know. Can you talk about the guys on this team just a little bit, so that for anybody listening or watching us right now, who do they need to know about heading into the 2026 year? Obviously at the running back position, but beyond him.
Yeah, you know, I feel like we really have a good group of kids, a good talented group of kids. You know, I think our first 22 match up with anybody's first 22. It's a group of kids that work hard. They seem to really enjoy football. They enjoy competing. They like being around each other. Obviously on the offense, Javen's our guy. You know, he's been our guy for 2 years, but we're really solid on the offensive line. Nolan Jiatt kind of headlines us there. He's a Navy commit. We got some good young kids on the offensive line that played on our JV last year and played some varsity. Our JV was undefeated last year, 10-0. So we're excited about those kids. Aiden Mina is one I'm excited about as a center. And Quinn Cook is a guy that's playing tackle for us. He spent the majority of the time with us last year on varsity as a sophomore. Ended up getting hurt in the state championship game, which hurt us a little bit. At wideout, we got two guys back that started every game last year. One's Taru Davis, really explosive athlete. He's just going to be a junior. You know, he's got multiple P4 offers already. So we're looking for, you know, another big year out of him. And then Jalen Pounds is another guy that's just going to be a junior also that played for us every game last year. He's really done a good job in the offseason getting ready and preparing. And he's probably going to be we have some special guys that play both ways in certain situations. He's going to be one that maybe plays a a little bit in the secondary and then and plays it wide out. Behind Javen, we got a good young running back. He's just going to be a sophomore. His name's Maxwell Grant. He was kind of our bell cow on JV last year as a freshman and then played on the varsity at the end of the season. So we're looking for big things from him. Our quarterback, another kid up from the JV that you know, did the varsity stint at the end of the season last year, Ethan Dewater. He's had a really good offseason. You know, he's another one. Like I said, our JV was 10-0, and he was the leader. You know, he was the guy in charge of the offense. So we're really excited offensively with what we got. We got some other guys, you know, some young guys that are going to be in the rotation. We really feel like we probably got, you know, six or seven offensive linemen that can play, three backs that can play, and probably six receivers that can really go. Defensively, I'm really excited about the defense. We got a bunch of guys back from last year that have played a bunch of ball. We've had a couple kids move in from other schools that have played a bunch of ball. Up front, I think our best football player on defense, he might be our best overall player on the team, is DeMarcus King. He started for me since halfway through his freshman year. He's kind of a outside linebacker, defensive end, hybrid guy. He's really had a great offseason. He's picked up some offers. He got a Liberty offer not too long ago. Expecting big things from him. We're really big on the interior defensive line, Dexter Chavis. He's picked up some offers this summer. He's a 6'3", 315-pound defensive tackle that played a bunch for us last year. He was an offensive lineman, and we moved him to D-line. Carson Vaughn's another kid, 6'1", 315-pound guy inside who's played a lot for us. DJ Hall is another 300-pounder that played a lot for us last year. And those three guys, actually those four guys that I just talked about, are all going to be juniors. So we got them for two more years. Linebacker-wise, we got some guys back. Jalen Pryor has played for me since he's a freshman. He's just going to be a junior as well. Expecting big things from him. He was over 100 tackle guy last year as a sophomore, so he's back. We have a guy from the JV, Sean Sturdivant, that when you look at that kid, you're like, wow, you know, he's a 6-foot, 220-pound guy that runs like a deer. He plays inside backer for us, so expecting big things from him. Got some competition at other spots. We got a kid named MJ Respis that came to us from Ashley Ridge. He started for them since he was a freshman. Another big, thick, physical linebacker. So we're hoping for good things for him. One of his teammates from last year, TJ Aiken, is also with us now. He's another 6-foot, 230-pound linebacker. Inside linebacker, outside linebacker type that we're excited about. So I feel like we're deep, real deep on the front seven. A lot of kids have played a lot of football, and they're, except for Carson Vaughn, they're all going to be juniors. So good, we got them, and they all played a lot of sophomores. So secondary wise, we had to replace pretty much our whole secondary, but we got a really good group of kids. We took a kid named Eli Presley, who's going to be a senior for me. He started the last 2 years for us and in both state championship games. He was an outside backer. We've moved him back to like a strong safety position because he's extremely athletic, extremely fast. You know, he's a 5'11", 195-pound, 200-pound guy, wrestler, tough. So he's back there helping in the secondary. And then we got two kids that have been in our program for a long time that have bought their time and are ready to go. Mikael Scheider and Jaden Felder playing the other safety spot. I think they're going to have great years. Scheider had two picks in the playoffs last year, just playing our nickel package. Corner-wise, again, those guys are new too. We got a guy named Lance Hike that moved in. Again, just going to be a junior. He's played a lot of football. He's good, long, physical corner that we're excited about. And then we got Lamar Lance, who is another corner that played on our JV last year and came up at the end of the season. Got a kid named Lorenzo Robinson. I'm going through the whole list of names here. I don't want to leave anybody out. I'm sure I'm at least a kid named Lorenzo Robinson. It's going to be a safety slash corner that's just going to be a junior that's played a lot of football for us. So our team is experienced. They played a lot of football, and the majority of them are going to be juniors. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, and coming off a 12-win season. So, obviously, Coach, you were going to be one of the teams to beat. I was curious. You talked about being really solid on the offensive line, having six or seven guys that can play there. Can you take us through, I guess, your knowledge base? You would have played in the late 90s, kind of at the tail end of the I formation being the top offense, then to, obviously, we've seen the spread over the years. Maybe how your thinking has changed or shifted on the offensive line, or maybe it hasn't. Do you think you can still line up, kind of put your hand in the ground and move bodies for your running game? How does that work as an offensive line guy, the way football's moved?
Yeah. I don't know if it's really changed, that much back when I played. I didn't play offensive line in high school. I was a defensive lineman. Then when I went to college, I was an offensive lineman. I think back in those days, it was maybe a little bit more weight on your hand, weight forward, firing off the ball, everything kind of hit a little bit faster. It's kind of changed a little bit. Everybody's gone to the shotgun and the zone running game, and it's changed a little bit, but it really hasn't. I mean, high school football, any football, it's really still about just, moving people, one human moving another human and being physical in that aspect, be able to communicate. So it's changed a little bit, but it really hasn't changed that much. There's people that work, there's different techniques and different stances and stuff now that people use, but I think in football, you don't really invent anything new. Somebody's been doing it long ago. You see all this spread offense stuff and spread running game stuff. Well, if you go back, I mean, they were doing this stuff. A lot of people were doing this stuff in the 40s and 50s, same schemes. And, it's just some of it was from under center. And I'm blessed. I got a great offensive line coach. He played here. His name's Omar Nesbitt. Omar played at the Citadel. He was All-American at the Citadel, and his brother played with me here. Jamar Nesbitt ended up playing in the NFL for 10 years. So Omar leans on Jamar a little bit for stuff and does a real good job. And Omar coached in college for a few years before he came back to Somerville. So I kind of let him do his thing, and then, I kind of step in there, and I just try to give the guys some, maybe little tricks to the trade that, once they get the basics down and they kind of understand what they're doing, how to do things, and I'm like, all right, well, you can add this to what you're doing that's going to help you be successful.
Coach, I want to ask one more question about Somerville as a whole. Obviously, you want to keep your eyes forward because it's all about production in the future and winning games on the field. But at a place where there's so much rich tradition and history, is there some way that you kind of infuse that into what you're doing and bring that to this new generation? I know sometimes it's difficult with a 16 or 17 year old young man to have them really appreciate everything that has been accomplished in the past. What do you do to kind of highlight the history that's there in Somerville?
Yeah. We talk about it, and we let the kids know that this is still one of the places that's a community school. We still have a stadium that's away from campus in town. All the old timers still buy reserve seats. I don't want to say the town shuts down anymore on Friday nights like it used to, as we have, two other high schools here, but football really, really means a lot to this community. And, I tell the kids all the time and talk to them that, you're kind of playing for more than just yourselves. It's 100 years of football here at Somerville High School. So you're playing for a whole town and a whole community that's really rich in tradition and loves their football. So, I think they understand. I don't want to say it's a huge responsibility, but it is a responsibility to go out there and, do things the right way, play the game the right way, prepare the right way. Cause there's a lot of people counting on you. And that's a great thing. And if you'd have been at our lower state playoff game last year, man, it reminded me of when I played here and it was just one high school. There were so many people there, rooting for us, cheering us on. It's an exciting thing. I explained to our kids, we're a traditional school. We got one helmet. We don't do two, three different helmet colors. We don't do, wild, alternate uniforms and all that stuff. We're kind of like Clemson, Alabama, Penn State. We're rich in tradition, and we're going to keep honoring that tradition.
That's really cool. And of course you bring that lineage too, from having played with John McKissick. Coach, we'll let you get out of here on this. Because you grew up in Somerville, I just have to believe you have a food recommendation. So if we're going to come in, take in that atmosphere, which restaurant do we need to hit on the way in before we take in the game?
Well, I'm going to tell you what, my wife and I, we really like this place called Baker's Barbecue. And I don't know if you're really ever going to find it, because it's in a kind of what looks like a kind of a lawn care type deal, you know, florist type place. But Kevin Baker at Baker's Barbecue, he played here at Somerville High School, and his stuff is incredible. Like I said, it's kind of off the beaten path. You'll never find it. You just got to type it in. I don't even know if he has a website. He has a Facebook thing, but man, his brisket and his barbecue and his mac and cheese and stuff is unbelievable.
That's great. See, that's not the only barbecue restaurant in the back of a hardware store. We know what it's like.
Yeah. He's got, well, you know, fountains out front that he's trying to sell and do all that stuff, but he does it. He does a really good job.
You get a bird bath and brisket when you go to Baker's.
Yep, you can get whatever you need there, plants, flowers, whatever you need.
Coach, hey, we appreciate your time. We're definitely going to see you this season, and good luck in the opener. To me, that's South Carolina football, Sumter and Somerville strapping it on, those S's on the helmet. I think that itself is going to be a great opener.
Yeah, it is. We're excited about it. You know, I try to tell – I know you want to try to get off to this. I try to tell people all the time, you got to play good people to prepare you down the road. You know, I see people all the time that don't want to play games against other teams, and it just helps you get better. I mean, iron sharpens iron. If you look at our schedule, our first 5 weeks is going to be a test, but we're excited about it. That's what we do. That's what we train for. It's what we prepare for. And we're fired up about it. And we know Sumter's going to be a handful.
Thank you, Coach.
Yep. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Anytime.
Back with more Four Quarter Friday. We'll recap that conversation with Ian Rafferty when we return. Four Quarter Friday presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. Back after this. Welcome back to Four Quarter Friday. Great conversation with Ian Rafferty, head man for the Somerville Green Wave. We have got quarterbacks coach, instructor, whisperer, guru, Ramon Robinson coming out just a moment. Do want to mention, Rob, I sensed a quiet confidence there from Ian Rafferty, someone that started in college at NC State, won a lot at Somerville, obviously, as a player, went on to play in the NFL. They go all the way to the state championship last year, and I get the sense he thinks they're better in 2026.
Yeah, I do too. He kind of made his way through the roster, right, looking at every player that's there, and you could see where their strengths are in guys that are coming back and where they filled holes with guys that he has really a lot of confidence in that maybe came from another school or moved up from JV, and he feels like now is their time. So yeah, it really felt like the complete roster. He kind of has confidence in where I don't know that there was a whole lot of holes replacing the whole secondary. So that's something that you want to look at for sure. But it wasn't like he was like, yeah, well, he didn't do the whole Spurrier thing where he's like, oh, we're not very good.
No, there was no all shucks there. I sensed some confidence. I think Somerville's a team to watch. Now, we discussed this when we announced that Ramon Robinson is going to join us, quarterback instructor. Quarterback play has simply been elevated across the state, and a lot of that credit goes to Ramon Robinson. We'll bring Coach in now, played the position, and now is helping to tutor that next generation of quarterbacks. So what you're seeing on Friday night, Coach, you have a lot to do with. I know you're passionate about what you do and helping these kids learn that position, and we really appreciate you joining us on Four Quarter Friday.
Man, I appreciate y'all having me out today as well. You know, the weather is kind of getting us today. You know, we got a big camp coming up this weekend, but we got to be prepared to play this game in all climates. So, you know, we getting prepared for this light rain throughout this weekend, but, you know, we're ready to rock and roll tonight. Like I said, once again, I appreciate y'all having me on to talk about some quarterback play throughout the state of South Carolina and surrounding areas.
Oh, wait, so you've got – so wet ball drill, and you don't even have to bring a bucket.
It's just... There it is. So you got to be prepared. You know, that's a mental thing. You know, I talk about it all the time when folks be like, man, why you don't have a facility? Why you don't do this and that? I just like, you know, playing the game of football is all mental, especially when it comes to quarterback. Mental and being – and just executing. And the thing about it is, like you say, with the weather, wet ball drill, whether it's cold, whether it's too hot, you know, I just had this conversation the other day. It's just, you know, you got to be prepared. If you worried about how cold it is or how hot it is, you mentally not locked into what you're about to get into, you know.
Coach, I want to talk about your camp this weekend and some guys that you have. But first, let me zoom out and talk about your experience over the course of your career. How have you – I know your story is an inspirational one, and you've had a lot of success, but that hasn't come without some difficulty and some hard work to elevate to the next level and kind of transition from one place to the next. But can you talk a little bit about how you've seen the quarterback position evolve and shift over the years that you've been a part of football, whether as a player, a coach, or a trainer?
Yes, I can. And honestly, that's the main reason why I got into – the business of wanting to help and mentor and develop quarterbacks. You know, I started out years and years ago. You know, I retired from the game, sustained an injury to my Achilles, and it took 2 years to heal from that. And during that time, I had to have a conversation with myself to come to, as they say, that come to Jesus conversation, whether you're going to continue to play football or, you know, step into the next chapter of your life. And, you know, as I'm laying there and having conversations with NFL guys like Mr. Paul Warfield, who became my mentor, at that time, that's when, you know, I just sat there and I knew exactly what I wanted to do. It was just a matter of executing it and getting it going. And so at that time, I was at the age of 32 and had 32 stitches. And, you know, and they saying it's going to take 2 years to heal from this. And now it's time, you know, at that time, the doctor say, what's next? And, you know, I was just like, first thing I did was I went back to school, and finished up my degree. Things like that. And then that's when I started to venture off and establishing my dream and my business of wanting to establish a 501c3 sports organization to help out the young generation that couldn't afford it. If you can afford training, you pay. If you can't, I assist you in ways and getting you sponsors and things of that sort. But I started out with a company. It's called Prep Star Football. Prep Star Football was started by the late Mo Collins, who played at West Charlotte and of course, Charlotte, North Carolina, and played at the University of Florida, went on to play first round with the Los Angeles Raiders at the time. He brought me aboard, and he established a group of guys that traveled around the country with a group called VTO Sports. VTO Sports was the training format to where, not knocking anybody, that's the training format that everybody from Rivals, Under Armour, everybody got their training format of how to run camps and things of that sort from VTO. And Mo established a group of guys that were either played collegially or played professionally. And he created a staff, and we just traveled around and started, you know, just helping develop the young generation and grading them and things of that sort. And I had a conversation with guys like yourself that are writers, and they was talking about the state of South Carolina. And they were just like, man, there's so much talent in South Carolina, and the guys that play the position, they're freaks of nature at quarterback. They got the size, they got the speed, but just fundamentally sound, they're not there, you know. And I heard you speaking earlier. I was talking with the coach from Somerville. So if, you know, if you go back and you know the history of South Carolina, there was only certain little pockets in the state of South Carolina that had good quarterback play. You know what I'm saying? And I can give it to Somerville. And at the time, you can talk about Burns, you can talk about Dorman and other things like that. But it's, those were the schools. Like when I say that, when I say they're complete, when you can go to a school and look at a guy and say, hey, he plays quarterback, and it's not a athlete playing quarterback, it's a quarterback with athletic ability. And I enforce that anytime that I'm talking to a kid. Don't ever let anybody put the label on you that you're an athlete. You know what I'm saying? And that's where I took that when I was speaking to guys like yourself, and they was talking down on the guys in South Carolina, like, oh, they look good, they freaks of nature, but they can't do this. And so that's what really drove me to put my plan together to come back to the state of South Carolina and start helping develop, you know, this young generation with my experience of going through the trials and tribulations I had to go through, you know, starting out. You know, we all have these D1 dreams. We all get recruited. It's just the little things that I wasn't doing, you know, prior to that in the classroom to be elevated on that level. But it never stopped me for us with my focus and the things that I wanted to do for us finishing and going to college, playing professional ball. I had the opportunity to coach professional ball. I was a coach. I was a general manager. I was director of football operations. And all those things helped me out in regards to what I'm doing today to be able to handle my position and also handle the parents and handle the kids as well. And also in the recruiting process of everything. But just to say that is just, it started out as a challenge, but it eventually just came natural. You know what I'm saying? It's just a natural thing to wanting to help and help the kids develop. You know, I always tell them all the time, it's not just me. Hey, coach, it's you. No, it's not me. It's us. It's a team effort. If I'm pouring into you and you're not pouring back into yourself, then we're defeating the purpose of what we're out here for.
Coach, you said something very interesting there. And to me, I had never known quite how to put it. Maybe you can help me. But for years, there were so many great quarterbacks coming out of Western Pennsylvania, Ohio, Texas. And I always felt South, you know, because people would say, well, when they would talk recruiting, but South Carolina, man, was churning out creatures, giant yes. defensive ends, linebackers, yes. wide receivers like Alshon Jeffrey, Sidney Rice. These are freaks of nature. Right. So maybe what you're telling me is the raw material has been there for quarterbacks at South Carolina. They just needed the tutelage and maybe the emphasis on the position that we didn't get in this state that they were getting in other places.
Yes, that's very true. And it's crazy when you say that. I was here, like I said, when I was speaking to guys like yourself from the Rivals, the 247s, and ESPN is just, when they're speaking to me about it, they're talking about every position. Every position. Oh, we can go here and go this. But when it came to quarterback play, it made a lot of sense, because when you can say only one name in the entire state, that wasn't good. Like, so I can go back and use an example. Willie Korn. Okay, if you go to Willie Korn, let's think about any other quarterbacks that were anything else in the state of South Carolina that was getting recruited heavily. That's not good for the state when you can only speak on one Division I quarterback with multiple offers in the entire state. Now, we're not talking about in a city, not in a county, or in a different region of the state of South Carolina. We're talking about the entire state. When you're talking about, hey, we got one guy that went back and forth with Clawson, I think his name is, back and forth, one and two in the country. This service got him at number one in the country. This one got him at number two in the country. But when you look at those things, it was bad. And that's why I was just like, I said before, I made it a point to where, you know, we got to improve this. In order for the quarterbacks in the state of South Carolina to get respected, we got to continue to develop the quarterbacks across the state, not just in a certain school. Like I said before, you could go back in the day and pick out the schools that produced quarterbacks. Did those other schools have quarterbacks that had all the intangibles to do things? Yes. But at the end of the day, they're just looking like athletes versus quarterbacks with athletic ability. And when I'm going to Pennsylvania and you send to Texas, I can tell you there's a lot of kids in those states got blessed just because of the history of quarterbacks coming out of there versus whether they had the talent to be elite quarterbacks in the country just because of you coming out of a bed of, oh, this is what they produce. This school produces this, this school produces that. And a lot of kids got awarded for that. And they didn't have the intangibles or the ability to even play the position. But with them coming out of those hot spots like that, who's going to argue with them? You got what I'm saying? Well, you're going to take a kid from South Carolina that's only, it's only been three or four kids in the last, I'm just going to use that for 2 years, that had Division I offers or even going to FCS division. It's not about going Power Five, but it's just that kids are going to playing elite high-level football. You know, and ever since I've been in business, you know, sometimes I don't give myself credit. I try to look past that, but I have to say that.
Oh, the weather's gotten Ramon. All right, we will unfreeze him as best we can. Rob, you can work on that. Fascinating start there. Obviously, we want to talk about his camp and everything, but just the big picture. And I've said this, Rob, I really believe, I know what we're, it almost sounds like we're driving down what has happened with quarterback play in South Carolina, but I think it's there now. I think that what you are going to see on Friday nights, we will see elite quarterback play in the state of South Carolina. I know, as a matter of fact, yesterday I was on with Jamie Bradford on Inside the Gamecocks, and he asked me the best player that I had seen. And of course, you've got a lot of names bouncing around. And Rob, I know you like Xavier Means from Northwestern, so I mentioned that. And I know a lot of people like Seth Tillman and other players, Trey Segura at Burns and more. And I mentioned Franklin Richardson. Ramon, I don't know if you have seen either one of those guys, Xavier Means from Northwestern or Franklin Richardson from Sumter, two of the quarterbacks that we have seen, Rob and I have seen in person, and we were so impressed by and just excited about seeing what they do in a high school field this season.
Yes, so Xavier Means and Frank, both of them have came out underneath my tutelage. Frank trained with me he trained with me two summers. Xavier Means has been with me since middle school. Might have been earlier than that. He was going back and forth between, he trained with our DB instructor with EPT, which was Chachi Sutherland with SCDB group. He was going back and forth between DB and quarterback. And he's always had the quarterback in him. And at the same time, he's so successful playing that position just because he's been on both sides of the field. You know what I'm saying? And learning it from the different sides of the field. Just like I always tell quarterbacks, some of the best receivers to play the game are former quarterbacks because they know what you're thinking. And that's with him. He already has that background of knowing what the defense is doing, what coverage they're dropping to, what's the responsibilities of the linemen and then the linebackers and things of that sort. But his development and he's yet to see, and we have yet to see his best football. You got to think about
it. I just want to jump in and ask you, do you think Franklin Richardson, who's being recruited as a running back, the Sumter quarterback, could play quarterback at the next level?
With continuous development, yes, but he's a running back. I'll say that. He is a running back. It's a few things that he still needs to sharpen up on his end as to be taken seriously as a quarterback. You know, he has a heck of a athletic ability. You can't take that away from him, but it's just that it's certain things that they want to see from you on the college level. You know, it's just some things you can get away with in high school. And I always tell guys, the things that you do, a lot of things that you do in high school, you're not going to be able to get away with on the college level. And that's because if you're not continuing to develop your game mentally and physically, then it's not going to work. And you can kind of see why he's transitioning. It's not a knock on him. It's just that I know where his heart is at without me saying that. He has fun playing the position because he wants the ball in his hands at all times. And I get that. And I feel like where he's going and the direction he's going in, he's going to be a heck of a running back or whatever he plays in college, running back, tight end for any university.
Ramon Robinson here with us this morning, the elite quarterback trainer in the state of South Carolina and beyond, the GOAT, many would say. The legend of Ramon Robinson goes far beyond just what's happening here in 2026. But let's look at these. You mentioned a couple of names there with Xavier Means and with Frank Richardson. Talk a little bit. I know you got camp this weekend. Talk a little bit about what's going on at camp and some guys that you're going to have out there. I'll be out there tomorrow to talk to some of the quarterbacks that you're going to have, but we want to hear about what that process looks like and who are the names that we need to be watching in 2026.
Gotcha. So, you know, usually Friday is the introduction day and registration, of course, and our format that we do for us with the QB Legacy when we're talking about character, leadership, academics, a world that's popping off. We give the kids some nuggets on that and parents as well. And we have a guest speaker, you know, what is a quarterback, depending on the area that we're in, a coach will speak on that. Today, Donovan McNabb would be the coach that's speaking on what is a quarterback. And from our perspective, as in the QB legacy, what is a quarterback? You know, and people want to play the position, but do you know how to play the position and operate it, not just on the field, but also off the field? Those are the things that we try to relate to the guys, that it's bigger than just playing the game. You got to be able to do things like right now. You got to be able to do things and have interviews and carry a conversation. You got a lot of athletes that don't even want to have a conversation with the media and things like that, but it comes along with the position. Then we're going to roll into some position drills, you know, just to give them a little warm-up session the night before. We have a night session. Regardless of the rain, we either be inside or outside. And we're going to go into tomorrow. We have a full day. That's skills and drills tomorrow, along with the wide receivers who will be coached up by former pro and Bobby McGowan and Cornelius background as training receivers and also playing on the professional level. And then we have Ronville and other coaches as well that'll be out there. And we have some of our college guys coming back, you know, and we would love to have all of them, but like I said, they got other arrangements and things like that. But locally, Cutter Woods will be in the building. Brandon Cunningham is another one that's at the University of South Carolina. Dre Dobson, Trooper Floyd, along with other coaches. I may be missing a few, but a lot of them starting up the season earlier that they couldn't come in for the camp that are alumni from it. But some of the 2026 guys that will be there, of course, is Xavier Means, Trey Howard, who I think is one of the most complete quarterbacks in the state that, you know, people, you know, they look at his height, but he's dynamic. He's what you want. I mean, ignore the height. If you want a quarterback, he's that guy. He can do it mentally and physically. He has it all. And I'm saying that he has it all. You got Brooks Dow, who will be going to the University of South Carolina as a tight end. He'll be there. Bear Woods, Xavier Wright. All those are the two, in my opinion, some of the top guys in the state of South Carolina at the, in the 2029 class, along with in the country. Kaysen Clark, Eastside. I may not miss anybody. Y'all get me in trouble too, man, because I ain't gonna mention everybody's name. But we have a lot of guys. Like I said, we have a lot of guys that's going to be there. They're going to be the top guys that's in the state and playing at some high level football.
Oh, this is great. Well, we're going to have you back on during the season too to assess some of this, Coach. All right, we've got to wrap up. But if you could you do this in 30 seconds? Because one of the things I believe that I have seen change in high school football over the years is less an emphasis on necessarily, I don't want to say like arm strength, but almost trying to overpower the football versus ball placement. Because now we have seen how difficult it is to defend tight ends. We see how difficult it is to defend back shoulder throws. And to me, it seems that ball placement and accuracy has improved dramatically in quarterback play across all levels, and now I'm seeing it on Friday nights too. So that must be something you guys work hard on.
We have to. You can't hold the ball. It's all about timing. If it's 1, 2, 3, get the ball out your hand. It's all about throwing. The key word is throwing the receiver open. Don't wait till he gets open. Throw the receiver open, and that's where the timing comes into play. You know, improvise the throw. Vision to throw, and that's where it all comes to. Don't sit there and hold on the ball. If you know you got a curl, you go 1, 2, 3, hitch and throw. You don't wait till he come out his break, things like that, the dig routes in the post. That's what it's all about, throwing the receiver open. And that's where the timing comes into play and great footwork and proper mechanics where you're not leaning and doing things like that, you know?
Incredible stuff. All right, Rob's going to be there with you.
Hey, and a couple names I want to make: Gerald Gibson, AC Floor.
Yeah.
Bryson Offlin, Pat Maddow, those are guys that I did think about as we were talking. Like I said, you're going to get me in trouble, man. I'm missing people's names.
Yes. Well, Coach,
I'll get them all covered tomorrow.
Yeah,
don't worry about it.
What we're going to do is this is being recorded, Coach, and any names you miss, we're going to send it right to the parents' inbox and let them know that Coach Robinson has no respect for them. No. We're going to have – so Rob's going to be all over it this weekend. Coach, we'll let you go, but we'll check back in during the season because, to me, what's going to be so fun is looking at how these players progress now, and we can assess what they're doing in season as well. So I know the hard work comes in now, but then we get to see the results during the year. So we'll check back in with you, Coach.
Yes, sir. And just so you know, South Farm got another stud too, De'Eric Davis.
There you go.
Okay. All right.
Always something there.
Told you,
all right.
Told you, y'all can't get me in trouble.
All right. Thank you, Coach.
You can't get me in trouble.
Stay out of the weather, and we will be Rob will be right there with you.
Yep. We'll talk soon.
I appreciate y'all having me on. Thank you.
Thank you. That is Coach Ramon Robinson. Rob, we got to wrap things up because Inside the Gamecocks is coming up. Final thoughts?
Yeah, like I said, we're less than a week away, Smitty. Next Thursday is the first day that teams can practice. We'll be having jamborees right around the corner in the 1st of August. And so if you can't feel it, I walked outside this morning, Smitty. It was a little cool here in South Carolina. There's a crispness in the air. It's football season. And we cover every sport at fourquarterfriday.com, but we know what season is upon us. And that's where we're going to focus our eyes for here for just a few minutes as we get ready for football to get kicked off.
If you missed any of Four Quarter Friday, you can go back, catch it right here on the YouTube stream of the Chief Sports Network app. Quiet confidence from Ian Rafferty, head coach for Somerville. Also, a lot of football schedules are being finalized. We'll get that news up for you at fourquarterfriday.com. Mountain View prep schedule is out. Might want to check out their graphic, too. I'll try to repost that. They have some pretty slick uniforms. You know all about that. And the South Carolina Basketball Coaches Association inducted four coaches last night into their Hall of Fame. Spartan High's Sharon Dillon, Fort Mill's Dwayne Hartso, Woodmont's Tim Morris, Seneca's Jimmy Toe. Congratulations to them, their family, those communities as well. That's it for us. But hey, fourquarterfriday.com, open 24 hours a day. Get there, be a part of the Varsity Club message boards. $1 gets you in, and then half price for the rest of the year. One time. Yeah, that's right. All right, that's it for us. We appreciate the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. We appreciate Leading Edge, Hewitt DeAmaduras, everybody, Bill Maloney, everybody that makes Four Quarter Friday possible. We'll wrap it up now. Send you on to Inside the Gamecocks here on the Chief Sports Network.